Good morning, Les.
Good morning.
Welcome to 3CR.
Thank you very much. Thanks to 3CR for the constant support.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is Green Left Radio.
We enjoy your music.
I meant to bring you a CD.
Yeah, I think we've played your music on our program before, actually.
Yeah. I forgot
about that. A few times.
I put it on the table.
Saying,
I forgot.
I was saying online that I love the smell of solidarity in the morning.
Yes, that's a nice one. Great. You should make a song on that one.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Okay, Les, you belong to a group that supports Aboriginal rights and so on, but with this new wave of abuse that's coming, I'm wondering if you could fill us in about...
Be careful there, Lalitha, sorry, I'm Aboriginal myself.
Yes, of course.
Going back to Wurundjeri country via my family line.
Yep.
So, yeah, I answer to my local elders, particularly Auntie Diane Kerr and Bill Nicholson.
Yes.
And these are the people who I take my direct instructions from. And they're giving all encouragement to basically do whatever, you know, for me to do whatever I can to stop what's going on, but also that extends to the rest of the country of Wurundjeri. And we hope that, you know, we're starting to actually see something change at the moment. I feel it from, you know, Darwin to Brisbane and places around, that there's change in the wind at the moment, because this is really the last straw for so many of us. When we see our kids in danger like this, it's our obligation as Indigenous people to act. So it's not a sort of excursion. It's a life.
Absolutely. For me. Mm. It's a life and death matter for many people.
Yeah.
And the Aboriginal community has suffered over 200 years of absolute torture, I reckon, and the traumas you know, has always been there, never been recognized and addressed, and now it's come to the fore. I mean, like the fact that 25 years ago they did a study on black, not study, the Royal Commission to the Black, Royal Commission into the Black Death in Custody, and the recommendations of only a small part implemented. So I guess this is a result of that lack of respect to those recommendations. As far as I can see. But tell us more about what are the actions that you're involved in, please, Les.
So I guess I've grown up doing a lot of different activism over, you know, the lifetime so far. But in recent times I've been doing a lot of work with SOS Black Australia. So, you know, helping to coordinate and organise and design and do social media and speak here and there, and work with others around the country trying to come up with longer-term strategies. So discussing with the mobs through the Kimberley and Pilbara and stuff at the moment, because it's an ongoing campaign. And, you know, with what's come up in Dondale, it's a matter of, I've already established quite strong connections through previous activism with a lot of different networks via trade unions, civil liberties organisations, human rights groups and so on. So part of the job of trying to really, you know, build a movement together with others is to just forge those links of activity and strengthen those links as we go. So, yeah, I guess... at this time, given that my own brother is a torture survivor, given my family's inherited traumas and so on, you know, this has opened up a wound for all of us, all of the community, and, you know, that's not something that I expect people necessarily to understand. And, like, in relative terms, you know, there's no way that I'm close to copping at the worst. I mean, the kids in Dondale are the ones that we're thinking about.
Yeah, it's ghastly. Yes,
it's the kids right there that, you know, should tell everybody all that they need to know, that the situation is so intolerable, so brutal, and so systemically racist that, you know, this is but, you know, the tip of the iceberg when we think about, you know, what goes on in other parts of the country. you know, all over the place, including right here on Wurundjeri country in Victoria. You know, and those are the, you know, direct words from Uncle Bill Nicholson, the Wurundjeri elder who, you know, I've been in communication with quite a lot. And, yeah, we're feeling it, but I think there's a growing sense of, you know, a change in the wind and also new ways of coming together, I think, over time. And I don't pretend that any of that is an easy thing to do. And, you know, like, I think that it's a matter of proceeding with a degree of gentleness and care for one another, which I'm trying my best to do. Because, you know, coming from a fragmented, you know, culture, it's one of those ones where we have to really consciously try to learn and do the best we can. Well, certainly that's what I'm doing on a daily basis, but I have support from my elders and I have support from, you know, a lot of amazing people coming in. But it's not just about one person. It's about, you know, how can we all work together to not necessarily rely on the small number of people who are holding the line. It's a major concern, but I think, you know, we've seen through our history, through leaders like Chicka Dixon, for example, who was a great organizer, you know, and a great activist. You know, he was schooled in the ways of building a real movement for change. And, you know, he and the likes, you know, the Foleys and the Aunty Isabel Coes, like, they made history and they shook it up. And I think that, yeah, our obligation as Indigenous people is to really carry that forward and lead, because this has to be led by Aboriginal people.
Yep, absolutely.
It's thrown a lot of us together who don't necessarily know each other as well as we should yet, but still, you know, we don't get to pick the situation. We get to pick what we do in it. And, you know, I send my respect to everybody who has been active so far and has committed to basically sign on to say, okay, we're in a moment in time now. Community's under a threat. Pauline Hanson's about to come into the Senate. We've got, you know, battle fronts all over the place.
Mm.
The word treaty is on the table in Victoria, but it looks like they're going to try to give us a Mickey Mouse or watered-down version of the treaty instead of the sovereign treaty.
Mm.
So I think now is the time for us to really come to terms with how to apply a lot of these concepts in a practical way. So when Auntie Diane Kerr, you know, Wurundjeri elder, sovereign of this land, says this has to stop now, that's the sovereign instruction, right? That's absolutely the commitment that I take as duty, and that extends, and we basically, we don't talk about, you know, things like sovereignty in abstract terms. We actually apply them. So, you know, like Larrakia mob up in Darwin, you know, the land where the Dundale Centre is, like, they've been having, you know, a lot of fights, you know, in recent times. And, you know, they're really having to apply the sovereign principles. And, yeah, we need clear understanding, I think, to build an effective change, because, yeah, without practical sovereignty expressions of it, you know, I think it's quite hard for people to give real understanding and weight to it. Like, actions determine things. You know, it's not just a matter of words. It's what you do, and it's what you do for the cause, and it's what you do for your people and country, and everybody can do good stuff. But, yeah, led by Aboriginal people, using the wisdom and lessons of the past. You know, people like Vincent Lingiari, who softly spoke his story. You know, there's no rush necessarily. We're going to do it. We're actually on a long-term path to turning it around with understanding and that sort of strength. You know, we don't let the media tell us what to think.
I think,
We figure out between ourselves first how we feel about this and what we're going to do, and it extends out from there.
Hmm. The key thing, I think, the message from there is being led by Aboriginal people. And that's a concept that is not understood very well by the non-Aboriginal community. as well as it's feared by some non-Aboriginal communities or people. That's a discussion that's got to be had, I suppose, in the broader community. And, you know, the community has to explain to the rest what it means. Mm. What is a concept? What is this concept, you know, what, in practical terms, in reality?
In practical terms, I'll tell you how it would play out. If, you know, the structural racism is a preventative barrier this playing out, right?
Mm.
But imagining this barrier of institutional racism did not exist, when the local elder of the land says, this is what we do, effectively, that's what you do. You know, that's a sovereign principle. You obey the word of the owners of the house that you're in. We're all in this house, right? So basically, you act with respect in that house, and you take on that sort of basic, understanding that, you know, this is Aboriginal land, right? And it is actually incumbent on all people on that land to respect the instructions of the owners and custodians of that land. So, you know, this is like a pretty big concept, I guess, yes, for a lot of people to take on.
Mm.
But it's not saying that people don't do what people do. It's just saying that they do that while respecting true custodians and their sovereign right to basically determine what happens within their own land.
Mm. It's a concept of land being owned by a traditional community, as opposed to the way modern society pushes private ownership. That's where
it's also in direct conflict with, you know, the sort of, it's in conflict with the systems of social order and capital and everything else.
Mm.
But, you know, what we're talking about is not like necessarily transforming everything in one hit. We're talking about accumulated strength and understanding over time, because, you know, you need to go through, you need to, pace it out a bit. You know, you don't go to the gym first thing and try to lift, 300 kilograms above your head, you know.
Yes, it's a tough one.
You've got to apply in a practical and purposeful way, I believe, your abilities. And, and I'm not speaking for anyone when I'm saying this stuff. I'm giving you, my way of explaining it, in accordance with the instructions that, you know, the elders that I'm answerable to have told me to go forth and do. But, yeah, I think that the Vincent Lingari, Chicka Dixon, other sort of methods of actually forming powerful, effective, over time kind of relationships is important, because, you know, I had limited time with, you know, what one of my sort of role models in what we're doing here really is Ray Jackson, who a lot of listeners to 3CR would know about. So he was a Wiradjuri man and lifelong campaigner against death in custody and so on.
Mm.
And, you know, he had incredible stamina, and he had incredible commitment to his people, and especially kids, you know, who, you know, he helped to educate and basically instill, strong values and culture. But he didn't get a whole lot of support. And I think, people do need support. They need active support. You know, they need the kind of support that will amount to actual concrete change in the world, where daily racism, which is like the acid rain falling on our people on a daily basis, that just needs to actually be switched off. And, I don't have a utopian, idea that this happens necessarily quickly. But, you know, without an awareness of that purpose, we're in a much worse position. If we know what we're trying to head towards, then that makes us powerful. And I think that, you know, we can be, we will be a force for change. And I'm hearing, you know, young people step up. Young fellow by the name of Will Austin, for example, whose father, Neville, spoke extremely movingly at the rally. Young Will also spoke at that rally, and he comes from a place of deep, deep insight into what institutional racism and violence is.
Yes.
And he can actually use his skills to project it out to people, you know.
Mm.
And like what I'm seeing around me in the conversations I'm having is people putting pen to paper or applying whatever skill they have to basically send out the signal, you know, this is it. It's action time. It's not a dress rehearsal, you know. A lot of people have been stuck in a routine. They might, you know, sometimes it's ordinary to get sort of comfortable within a certain routine. But, yeah, inevitably, you know, every time I go out for a walk around the block in the morning, I notice changes, and that's the nature of what we do. So we try to just direct our energy to the cause, going by what the elders are telling us to do. I believe that, you know, that there can be trust from, you know, surrounding and supportive communities. But it's one of those ones where if people can have some faith that, you know, the wisdom of the elders and the generations that are coming up is actually, you know, something to put your faith into as opposed to thinking that you know better. Because, you know, the fact is, we've always cared for the land via our, you know, direct line, and it will always be our ongoing duty to be within that role, whether dominant society accepts that or not.
Yes, I you know, I'm just trying to imagine the graphic analogy you just made. The racism poured onto the community is like acid rain being poured onto people, and you can get more graphic than that. And you know, people don't understand the pain of inflicting people with this racist treatment. Can understand it graphically with that analogy. I think it's excellent. Les, thank you so much for talking to us. It's been a pleasure, and that was very...
Well, quickly, I'm encouraging people to build the networks to get on board. You know, this is a long-term journey.
Yes.
And we're not about excluding people. We're about including people, but with guidance from the elders who know best, if I can say
that. Of course.
That.
Yes. I was going to ask you, what's your next action, Les? Is there anything happening in the recent future? Next week?
We're in a regrouping and strategy situation at the moment. I'm in contact with Matthew Bonson up in Darwin, and his barrister, John Lawrence, who was on the Four Corners program the other week.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an ongoing thing, so I encourage people to keep a lookout by the various Facebook pages, including Stop Forced Closure of Aboriginal Communities, Blackfellow Revolution will support it. You've got the Warriors, the Aboriginal Resistance, who, you know, they've actually been change makers. They've used people power effectively to get rid of the commissioner.
Yes.
You know, I don't believe that the changes that we've seen would have happened without leadership from
absolutely
Mariki and the rest of the warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. And I think, you know, full credit and respect is due, and it's an example. So, you know, we've got a lot of lessons locally. We've got a lot of other lessons from, you know, South Africa and the Philippines and other places that I believe might help the seed in and far up. But, yeah, we'll start talking gently, carefully, respectfully, with one another, and make sure that we have a firm basis of cultural strength and understanding to proceed and win.
Thank you so much, Les, and we'll encourage all our listeners to keep an eye out on any future events on those websites and Facebook sites that you've mentioned.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Les, for being here.
Thank you very much, Les. Great.
Okay, bye.